I titled it as a behind the scene for today's teaching because it gives us that thing that we will never see. At a simple glance, many people would comment that what is this book of Job had to do with us 21st century people? I mean, this is it even relevant to us? And they ask. But in the core of this 42-chapter book, I believe that there's a question that we, you and I, both ask God at least once in our lifetime, such as, why God? Have you asked that? Or maybe you ask a different thing after the 9/11. Why good and loving God allowed this kind of horrible thing to happen to nice people? Have you asked that? I have. You see, pain and suffering are the ingredient of the story of faith. Faith in God. That is what the book of Job is all about. As we follow this man Job on his journey, we will see his faith in God severely tested. Severely. How severely? Strip off his precious children, all 10 children got killed in one morning. And he lost entire possession. I'm not talking about some reservoir in like that. No, everything was taken away from him. And he stood next to the fresh 10 graves on the windswept hill and wondering to God, why God? Something we can relate. No doubt you are asking God a few questions yourself. Perhaps you are experiencing the illness that changed the course of your life all of a sudden. Or maybe you lost somebody, dearly loved family member, and you're wondering, why God? How about this? Your spouse deserted you and there's an enormous void in your life. And he's doing fine or she's doing fine. And you wonder, why God? Or, like many people nowadays, you've been working for this company for a long time. You dedicate your entire career. And instead of thank you and nice silver watch or platinum Rolex watch, they give you a pink slip. Now what? What do I do? I'm too old for the new career. And many people would relate this. Never-ending financial crisis. You think you are barely getting hands on your finance, all of a sudden your car breaks down. And Trini says, sayonara. Now you're copying up minimum of $800 just for the trainee or up to $2,000, $3,000. Depends on your vehicles. I'm not going to guarantee you that at the end of this study, you will have a complete answer. I don't dare to guarantee that. If you do, you should teach me and you should teach the rest of us. But we will be wise to submit to all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-loving God and His plan. As we live through this unfair life, have you ever heard that? Your mama told you life ain't fair. And I'm sure you said the exact same thing to your kid. As we live through this unfair life, we'll borrow insight and principles and wisdom from the book of Job. Maybe we'll borrow from the man himself. And continue to depend on our God's strength. In my opinion, the book of Job contains more practical theology than what we assume that it would have nothing but old story. So you guys ready to study this great book? All right, let's stop and pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for this time that we are asking you to open our heart to receive your wisdom, that comes from you alone. Practical, godly insight. You said in your word, if anyone lacking in wisdom, simply ask. And we believe that you will dispense to us generally, liberally. Father, as we learn your wisdom, let us apply them into our lives, that we may do what pleases you. We may do what brings glory to you. Father, we pray for President Obama that he may come to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, whatever it takes. We pray for the election, that your will be done. And we also pray for those who are wearing uniforms, our military personnel, police officers, sheriff deputies, the federal agent, and firefighters and paramedics. All those people who protect our lives and come to our rescue. Father, we are asking you be with them and protect them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever we start the brand new book, what do? We have to know who are the author and when it's written. So start with the author and the timeline. We do not know who wrote this book. Well, that's a good opening, isn't it? Who wrote this book?
Don't know.
All right, we don't know. Some commentator dared to say it was written by Moses. I'm sure you heard about that, but they cannot present any concrete evidence to back it up. According to some commentators, judging by the Hebrew literary style it used, and they consider that the book of Job is the oldest book of the Old Testament before Abraham's time. And I'm sure they are correct. I'm not going to argue about those smart people. So what is the theme of the book of Job? It is to illustrate God's sovereign permission of suffering. I know it's kind of oxymoron, like a jumbo shrimp. Safe woman driver. I just said that to make sure you guys are awake, okay? Actually, it came from Paul Ostrowski. He told me to repeat it, so there. So it's God's sovereign permission of suffering and godly man's unwavering faith in his God. That's the theme. I can divide the book of Job, all 42 chapters, in four sections. Number one, the first portion is chapter 1 and chapter 2. It's a kind of history portion. It's an introduction of suffering. From chapter 3 to chapter 37, it's a discussion amongst Job and the three awful friends. And they are arguing, they are discussing of this suffering. You can summarize the whole that 35 chapters in three and four words, did not, did two, did not, did two. That's what they did. Chapter 38 through 41, this time God is speaking to Job, mainly Job, but all three friends are there to listen to God. Chapter 42, final portion, is a submission under the suffering and restoration from the suffering by God. All right, starting at the verse 1, chapter 1 of the book of Job, please. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was a blameless and upright one who feared God and shunned evil. And the seven sons and three daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all people in the east. And his son would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job, get this, for Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. Job's story begins with almost like a fairy tale, don't you think? You can almost add, once upon a time there was a man in the land of Uz. Where is Uz? I'm kind of running ahead, but according to the map, they said it's the historical, the archaeological evidence pointing to this, and either near or in the land of Edom, which is located at the bottom southeast corner of the promised land. Here's a man who was very wealthy. His financial portfolio is very, very impressive, don't you think? This is a very wealthy rancher. I bet he even had the gold-trimmed red convertible chariot in his camel garage made by the Ferrari and Lamborghini. I mean, this guy's totally loaded. In those days, the wealth was compared by the three things: livestock, how big the land is, and how many servants he has. And Job had all three of them in abundance. But being rich did not turn him away from God. He acknowledged that the Lord gave him all this, and he used his wealth generously for the good of others, as we will learn that later. Job would have had no problem obeying what Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Go there, keep your finger there and go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. By the way, you're wondering, what is Brad doing with the camera behind? He now posting my teaching on the YouTube. I told him I don't want to see my ugly face on the YouTube, but he did it anyway. So there, verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown a man in destruction and perdition. Verse 10, for, get this, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Some people say, well, let me just have money a little bit, because since I'm poor, I cannot tithe. I guarantee you, if you're not going to tithe when you don't have money, I guarantee you that you are not going to get tithe when you're rich. It's a matter of your commitment. I said this before, but I'm going to repeat it again. And I know some people will just blow me off when it comes to tithing. They're holding on to that little bit of money for the rainy day. God does not need your little bit of money. God paved the street with the gold. We're having problem with trying to pave the parking lot with a chip seal, but God doesn't have a problem with the paving with the gold. Do you think he needs your money? It's for you, for me. Because we hand out that much, and we have to live on our faith. And you may say, well, show me an example. I can show you at least two people in this congregation who took my advice, and they are doing just fine. They are blessed beyond their socks. See that the tithing is for your faith. It's not for church. It's not for God. It only shows how much you trust God or not. That's the bottom line. The land of Uz was, as I said, probably located in the near Edom. In verse 1 said that Job was blameless and upright. Does it mean that Job was sinless and perfect? No. He was a man of integrity, which we will learn more as we study this book. Listen, while the sin is vertical, because when we sin against somebody, we are sinning against God. So immediately our sin goes between God and us. So it's a vertical. But blameless is reputation, is among people. So it's horizontal. Am I making sense to you? All right. So sin is while the sin is vertical, the reputation is, blameless is horizontal. And Job first recorded act of this book is sacrificing burnt offering to God because he was interceding on behalf of his children. That brings the next conversation. Job was a godly father who was interceding on behalf of his grown children. I hope all of you dads and granddads are doing exactly that for your children, regardless of their age. They can be baby, or they can be 60 years old baby. It doesn't matter how old they are, in your eyes, they're baby, right? You may ask, well, I've never been a godly as a Job. That doesn't matter. You can start right now. Ask God. Ask God to start to change your life for your children. Not just dad and granddad, mom and grandmas. You be the example God set. Let him work in your life. Let him work in your language. Okay? And let him work in your characters. And let him work in your temper. Okay? Your children will read a whole lot more in those four areas than what they would hear from you. Go to the verse 6, please. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, blameless and upright, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around the household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hand, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face." Just after the six verses of this study, now we all of a sudden transported from earth to heaven. We find that this portion that we've never seen anywhere in the Bible, conversation between God and Satan himself. Without a prologue, this portion of prologue of the book of Job, we would consider Job as a self-righteous snob, just like his three worthless friends would think, due to the lack of a heavenly perspective. Am I making sense to you? For us to think right so we can see everything from the God's point of view, God is giving us a kind of glance into heaven. Among the ranks of heavenly angels, Satan was there before the Lord in the presence of God. Now the terms of the sons of God in the Old Testament is pointing to describing the angelic beings. Let's stop here for a moment, and we need to make this very clear. Listen, Satan is not equal with God. He is not a rival. He no in any form of shape. God is a creator. Satan is a mere creature. You with me? And God is all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-loving, and all-present God. But Satan is a very strong spiritual being who was a former archangel. He's a fallen. He's a strong, yet he's not all-powerful. He's smart. He's a very sly, yet he's not all-knowing. And he cannot be everywhere. How does he cause all this trouble around the world? He has ranks and files of his cohort, known as demons, who do his bidding. Humans, especially Hollywood movie makers, try to portray and inflate Satan's status, importance, and power as opposite of God. I'm sure that pleased Satan. Satan's rival would be Michael, the archangel. So what Satan said in verse 7 remind me of what Apostle Peter told us in 1 Peter 5:8. Some of you guys know this by heart. Go there anyway, 1 Peter 5:8. Do you want to know what the Satan's do? This is what he does. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaming lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is trying to steal your joy, try to destroy your testimony, and he's trying to kill your life. God brought up Job's name in the sense of bragging to Satan. If he had a spiritual suspended problem, he pulled it out about this far. Did you see my servant Job? And at this point, probably most of us are thinking, please don't brag about us to Satan, right? Please note what the Lord said about the character of Job in verse 8. Go back to verse 8, please. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth? Blameless, excuse me, and upright, one who fear God and shun evil. Folks, one of the many false doctrines by the faith movement Bible teachers is that Job was not righteous and he brought all this disaster upon himself. You know, from what I read, according to what God says, he's upright and blameless. This Bible teacher is insisting that on the same argument about the three ungodly friends of Job, whom the Lord declared that they are wrong at the end of the book. In reply to the Lord, Satan did what he does best. You know what he does best? False accusation, exactly. Keep your finger there again in the Job and go to the last book, Revelation chapter 12, please. Revelation chapter 12. Are you guys hot? Cold? I just ask. I'm not going to do anything anyway. I don't even know how to do it anyway. Verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. Get this, guys. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. This Satan. Satan in Hebrew word is accuser of brethren. Satan reveals his essential cynicism here. Essential cynicism. When Satan accused Job falsely, he was accusing God. And you may wonder why. What are you talking about? Because he implied that the Lord has bribed Job into obedience. Satan thought the adversity could make Job move from his faith in God to cursing his name and desert him. I've seen many Christians who follow God when they face the adversity and they say, okay, I'm done with this God thing. And they walk away. And they never learn. They will never get to be a mature Christian because they too easily give up. Go to verse 12, please. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. I'm sure he was clean. The attack is on God through Job. The only way the accuser to be proven false is through Job. So, battleground is the soul of Job. God against Satan. So Satan was given a limit, but gradually increasing access to Job. First, start with his 10 children's lives and all of his possession. And later we find out, including his health. Satan can go against God's people only within God's permission. Get this, guys. He cannot hurt you when God said, stay out of that limit. And God uses it for their good and for his glory. If you're afflicted, if you're going through adversity, don't think that God has no idea what you're going through. He knows exactly what you're going through. And the reason? I don't know. But he knows. That's where the true faith, true trust comes in. The revelation of a heavenly sin behind the earth's sin help us understand the later comment in the book of James. Go to James chapter 1. Yeah, chapter 5, please. Chapter 5, verse 11. Indeed, we count them blessed who, what? Endure. And you have heard of the perseverance of Job. Some of your Bible translate as the patience of Job. And seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is a very compassionate and merciful. If you're not familiar with the Bible and you're reading this portion for the first time, the whole story sounds like a fiction. That reminds me of what Lord George Gordon Byron said, also known as Lord Byron. He's a famous British poet and politician of the 19th century. He said this, truth is always strange and stranger than fiction. Folks, we have a great book to study. I have three principles instead of applications. Three principles. Number one, principle number one. We cannot see our enemy Satan, but he is a very real, has one purpose against us, destroying our testimony of Jesus Christ. Follow me? Yes? Okay. Second principle. We don't want trials, but God, our God, permits them in his ultimate wisdom for our own good. Principle number three. We don't understand God's plan, but his plan is best for us and for our spiritual growth. Trust him. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Go with us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.